you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, July 7th, 2017. Recently back from a nice, restful vacation with the family. We went up to Green Lake with some other dear friends, and we had a house right on the lake. Enjoyed devotions in the morning and in the evening together, played some horseshoes, and I think for Holly and I, rested a lot. Went to bed early, occasional afternoon naps, and just laid back, so feeling very rested and enjoyed the time away with some great friends. Well, while up in Green Lake, we were alerted to some sad news. Actually, two different families that we know that are in the midst of experiencing some tragic news. And so I'll read an email that I sent out to the Singing Men of GNN, updating the guys on Norman DeGraff, and also an email that went out yesterday from Mike Chitty to the Judah family regarding Sarah Graham. So here was my email that I sent out Wednesday night. Men, I just talked to Norm's daughter, Julie, moments ago. She and her mom, Linda, Norm's wife, are holding up well, knowing that the Lord has his timing and will in all things. It is with a heavy heart that I share the message below that Karen sent me earlier. And Karen is the office manager of Great News Radio, and she sent this email to me and C.J. Sizemore, the manager of the Singing Men of GNN. She says, "Hi, guys. Norm DeGraff's daughter, Julie, called to let us know that her dad is dying with pancreatic cancer. His heart is strong, but the doctor does not expect that he will live more than a day or two. She said that the Singing Men are incredibly important to him, and he wanted them to know, and also requested prayers as he goes home to be with the Lord. She said that she would call when he passes. She said that if you have any questions to call, and she would like someone to email or contact the Singing Men and let them know about her dad. So I did call Julie up on Wednesday night, told her that we'd be praying, and I'd pass on the message to the Singing Men of GNN, and we just got to share some great stories of her dad and the special role that he had in with the baritones, which I'm a part of, and Norm would come in many times sharing scripture or what he had memorized or would testify to something, so a godly man, but it seems like he'll be with us only maybe a few more hours or a few more days." And I guess also on July 5th, but I didn't see the message until yesterday, Mike Chitty, the superintendent of Judah Christian School, sent out this email saying, "Dear Judah family, it is with great sadness that I share with you that one of our dear parents, Sarah Graham, mother of Ben, second grade, Maymay, first grade, and Ava, went home to be with the Lord yesterday." So that was on July 4th. "She passed away suddenly while on vacation. We prayerfully ask that you lift up Aaron," and Aaron is Sarah's husband, "the children, and the entire family in prayer during this difficult time. We'll let you know as soon as we hear about arrangement details. While this news is incomprehensible, we rejoice that the Lord sifts all things through his mighty hands, and that all things work together for good to them that love God," Romans 8:28. And for those of you that maybe don't know Sarah, who was just a gem, a sweet woman of the Lord, her mother and father-in-law are Randy and Debbie Graham, who, if you've ever been to Curtis Orchard, you'll see them working very hard. Them and their whole family are very active there, and Aaron is Randy and Debbie's son, and he married Sarah some years ago. And Aaron and Sarah, their three children, I mentioned their names, are, I think, 7, 5, and 2 years old. I did find out yesterday that the funeral services will be at Vineyard on Saturday, July 15th, with visitation from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and the funeral 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., and that'll be at Vineyard Church in Urbana. So it's with heavy hearts I share this news with you, but it's also given with a hope-filled knowledge that both Norm and Sarah knew the Lord thoroughly and have that eternal reward ahead of them. Well, if you were tuned in for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, I played a portion of a message as preached by Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, as delivered a month or so back, as he's taking his congregation through the book of Exodus, and that is also our topic during the Friday edition of Mark and Friends these past few weeks. And so on Wednesday, you heard the first 20 or so minutes of this 40-minute message, and we'll pick up close to where we left off on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends and conclude this message in its entirety. And we'll begin where Pastor Jason is talking about how the midwives feared God, made the right choice, not allowing Satan's tools or means of destruction to destroy and enslave, to reign, but better yet, to follow God and to serve His purposes. Jason will also talk about how influential people get our attention and can change our lives. And it's almost like a Mother's Day message. Maybe this was delivered during Mother's Day, but he'll be honoring these midwives along with three other women, sharing the importance that we can take a stand and make a difference for all eternity. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet.
But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the male children live. See, Pharaoh had two strategies for preventing God's people from growing: slavery and death. Those were his two modes. Like, this brother can't talk. He can't say, like, let's sit down and work things out. Slavery and death is the only ways that he thinks this is going to work. And friends, by the way, this is the enemy, and this is the weapons that the enemy Satan uses against us when he tries to destroy us, isn't it? Isn't it? First, sin leads us to slavery. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 34, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And slavery in sin leads us to death, because Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Exactly. So what we need is exactly what the Israelites needed, and that is a Savior to deliver us, to rescue us from slavery, to deliver us from death by destroying our enemy. And just as God provided a Savior for Israel, and we'll learn His name next week, He provided a Savior for us, and we all know His name, and that is what? Come on, say it like you mean it. Exactly. And I think, though, friends, that's hard for us to remember at times. It really is. Any one of us in here today who has been visited by what Kent Hughes calls a dark night of the soul, anyone who has been visited by the enemy on one of those dark nights knows that it is not easy to stand up against Satan when he comes calling with his condemnation. And it's not easy when he sends one of his silly stooges like Pharaoh either. This is why Shipra and Pua are for me, one of the great women in history, one of the most influential women in the history. They should be on this list. Because when Satan came, when Pharaoh came knocking with his order to kill all the baby boys, they said no. They said no. Remember what I said earlier? Influential people get our attention and they change our lives. These women, I don't know yet if it's happened for you, but they get my attention. And I realize because of their actions, they have changed our lives. The name Shifra means loosely beautiful one, and the name Pua means splendid one. And I love these names because these women lived up to these names, didn't they? These women were beautiful and splendid in their disobedience. In their desiring not to do a wicked thing. The last thing that these beautiful and splendid women would ever want to do is to take a life, especially an innocent life. These midwives understood the mind and the heart of God, even though they hadn't yet received the commandment on Mount Sinai, which would say, "Thou shalt not kill." They still knew that life mattered and that murder was wrong. Maybe they remembered the words from God to Noah in Genesis 9:6, which said, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God, God has made man. If it is a son, you shall kill him. And these Hebrew midwives said no. Now, this was clearly disobedience and defiance. Pharaoh gave the midwives a direct order. He told them what to do. If it's a son, you shall kill him. And yet they disobeyed it. But friends, this is what the people of God do when the laws of men contradict the law of God. Our first allegiance is always to God. Remember what Peter and the other apostles said in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. We must obey God rather than man. Now, for those of you who are built a little head of steam as I said that, I don't want you to misconstrue something. I don't want you to hear that the Bible is condoning anarchy and lawlessness. It's not condoning a kind of anarchistic behavior, a kind of lawless behavior. The Bible does not condone that. When the laws of man come into conflict with the laws of God, as the people of God, we must side with God's law. But then we also submit ourselves to the penalty for disobedience of man's law. And what we will see here is that these Hebrew midwives did disobey Pharaoh's law. But then they also submitted themselves to paying the price for that. They didn't run away and hide, did they? We're going to find that out. They didn't say, well, you know what I mean? They didn't come up with some clever excuse. Just told Pharaoh we didn't get there in time. Because those Hebrew women, they're hardy. And so they were willing to pay the price for their disobedience. And there are times when Christians not only have the right, but also the responsibility to resist wickedness. But we never have the right, friends, to expect that we don't bear the penalty for or consequence for that resistance. We must do that because that is submitting to what God has put in place, but also submitting to God. That's what Romans 13 really tells us to do. And I love that by refusing to follow Pharaoh's commands, Shiphrah and Puah became the first pro-lifers. They became our first pro-life kind of advocates in the Bible, other than when God tells us that life matters. And the reason they had the courage to do this, the Bible tells us, is because they feared God. They feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. They feared God more than they feared their friends. They feared God more than they feared the government. And this is even bigger than I think any of us can grasp. Because Pharaoh at this time is the most powerful man in all of the world. Who he is and what he is and his wickedness and his power and all that he was would have been heard far and wide. With the wave of his hand, he could have executed these women on the spot. He could have done all that. And yet Shiphrah and Puah, these great women, they dared to disobey him. They dared to risk their lives because why? Exodus 1:17 tells us they feared God. They feared God. They understood that obeying God is always the safest thing to do. I want you to hear that. In the midst of whatever situation you are in, obeying God is always the safest thing to do. Even when it feels absolutely unsafe because it flies in the face of all that you are hearing and seeing. Obeying God is always the safest place to be. That's why God says crazy things like, I'm going to hide you in my wings. I'm going to come over you. I'm going to cover over you. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. I love more. It's more instructive for me the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 where it says this, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? For if I was trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. John Piper said recently in a sermon, don't be a man pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Because the safest thing is always obeying God. Deuteronomy tells us, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep his commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. You were commanded to love God supremely and to fear God supremely. We're called to do those. Those aren't exclusive. Those are not exclusive. Love God over here and then obey God over here. Those are driven by the same thing. I love God, therefore I love to obey God. And I don't want to be a man pleaser. D.L. Moody said, to fear man is to have more faith in your antagonist than you do in Jesus Christ. And I think he's right. So when we're called and commanded to direct our love to fear God, that's the safest place we should be. Proverbs 29 and 25 says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is what? Safe. So what do? You know what we do, friends, is we confess our fear of men. We confess that we like it when other people like us. We confess that we like it when we're spoken well of. We confess all the places where we seek to hear the applause and clap of other people when we ought to be seeking the applause of God. We confess that as people who live in these frail bodies that we like to hear the applause of men. And we confess that. And then we can courageously confront that by going to God. Next slide. It says, so the king of Egypt called the midwives and he said to them, why have you done this? You let the male children live. And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes. Now, Pharaoh's question seems odd, doesn't it? It would seem odd if this situation was not so serious. See, the real issue isn't what they did do, but what they didn't do. Because the truth is that these women didn't do anything. He told them to do something very specific. Kill the baby boys. And they did nothing. So it isn't that they did anything. They just did nothing. But listen, when you're dealing with wicked people, doing nothing, opposing them by doing nothing means you did something. Opposing them by doing nothing means you did something. See, this is the way of the wicked. Those who refused to obey Pharaoh were those who acted against Pharaoh, whether they did something or nothing. J.B. Lightfoot described the word of the Hebrew midwives by saying this, what they did by doing nothing was a glorious confession of their faith. By doing nothing, they were saying, God matters. Matters more than you know, and life matters. And therefore, we can't do this wicked thing you've called us to do. And this is one of the places I think when you read what the Hebrew midwives did, this is a place where I think you've got to understand that the Bible is kind of funny. Even in the midst of absolutely serious situations, because these women speak kind of tongue in cheek. They almost make fun of Pharaoh by suggesting that the Hebrews are more hardier than the Egyptians. What they were doing is they were mocking Pharaoh right to his face. It wasn't that the Hebrew midwives were more vigorous than the Egyptians. It was that the Hebrew midwives feared God. If you think there's anything else happening in this passage other than the fear and reverence and love of God, then you missed what's happening here. It wasn't that the Hebrews were more vigorous, they could give birth better and faster than the Egyptian women. It was that these midwives feared God and they would not do what this wicked thing was. The strength was in their love of God and not people. That's why the next verse says, so God dealt well with the midwives and the people multiplied and grew very strong. Some of the translations say that God gave them families. I love that translation. That these barren women who could not bring forth life were blessed with the ability to bring forth life because of their obedience to God. These beautiful, splendid women who were once barren were now able to have families by the grace of God. So maybe in your life where things are barren, God is going to, by your obedience and by your love for Him and your fear for Him and your faith in Him, is going to bring you a place where now fruit grows. But as wonderful as this news is, these barren women who now are able to have families who God deals well with, as beautiful as this is, evil rises up and reacts, as it always does. And out of the shadows of this comes something that is even more wicked, even more evil, and even more heinous. And I want to tell you what, when you begin to challenge evil, evil doesn't go run in the shadows, it comes out in plain sight. Right in plain sight. Everything that Pharaoh does, God uses for his advantage to deliver his people. Genesis chapter 50 and 20 says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And it says, because the Hebrew midwives feared God, he gave them families, and Pharaoh commanded all of his people. Can you imagine this? Pharaoh probably came out on his patio or whatever it was, and he came out and he commanded all his people. "Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." Pharaoh comes out and he says, "See the Nile over there with all the crocodiles in it? I want you now, you people, just openly, just get the babies and throw them in there. See a baby boy? Into the river." What was once done in secret, they would have the baby and they would check it and they would say, "Oh, it's a boy," and would suffocate the baby and kill it. Now in plain sight, evil says, "You want, just be more evil. We'll just be more evil. Now we'll do it in plain sight." Almost like it becomes sport. I'm not even going to be political in any of these sermons because I don't think I have to be. I don't think I have to be in how evil has become more plain and more public. We see it everywhere. But what I do want you to see, as wicked as this is, as tough and as difficult as some of this story is, what I want you to see is that God will use whatever means, the weak, the meek, the humble, the ordinary, and the inconceivable to deliver his people. He will use what is unexpected to deliver his people. Who stands against Pharaoh in chapter 1 and 2? Does anybody know? Who stands against him? Five women. Five women. Shifra, Pua, Jochebed, Moses' mother, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter. "Oh, Pharaoh, the joke is on you. Kill all the baby boys, but let the daughters live. Don't worry, because God will raise the daughters of Israel up, and he will use them powerfully." If you're a woman in the room right now and you're not high-fiving yourself in your heart, even if you're a little prideful, you want to do it outside, I mean, you can do that, because I'm telling you right now, God uses you powerfully. See, Pharaoh feared the men of Israel, but didn't count on the daughters of Israel. In 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." By the way, when he uses what is weak in the world in his strength, it is no longer weak. It is actually strong. So please, women, never read 1 Corinthians 1:27 as weakness and foolishness, because when God uses it, it is neither weak nor foolish. And here we have the daughters of Israel in this text who feared God more than Pharaoh, and they were willing, and no matter what the cost, to follow God and to be used as part of this story of deliverance. Shifra, Pua, Jochebed, Miriam, and Pharaoh's own daughter. Five women who are somehow missing from this list of the 100 most influential women in history. Remember what I said at the beginning of this message. Influential people get our attention because they change our lives. And these women changed our lives. If we believe that this story is our story, that is a part of the ongoing story of the people of God, then these women are absolutely influential in our lives. And they're influential because they showed us that following God at all costs matters more than following men. Fearing God more at all costs is more important than fearing men. And so therefore, I want to speak to the women right now in this room for a moment. Never believe that you are too small. Never believe that you are too weak. Never believe that your trust in God and your faith in God will not carry you to do something that is bigger than you ever might imagine. And for some of you, that is waking up in the morning and making your kids breakfast and doing the laundry and doing all the things that brings these little people to become big people who love God and walk in fear and the faith of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. A word to the men in this room that women matter. Matter more than we know. That God uses them mightily and powerfully. And as one who can attest from my own testimony, Father, I'm married to one. And I love her to death. I love her strength and her tenacity. I love, Father, that she's not weak and small, but she is strong and she fears you. Father, my prayer this morning for the women of this church is that they would fear you up and above all things, and that they would walk by faith in your word and in your work. That they would know that what they do every single day as they do that matters more than they know, because they are a part of your big unfolding story. Father, there is nobody in here who is too weak. There is nobody in here who is too small. There's only those of us in here who don't know how big and how mighty and how strong you are. And so, Father, help us today to see that clearly in Jesus' name. And all God's people said.
And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Be one of those influential people today, because your testimony, your witness, what you say and do can leave an impression on someone, or maybe change the course of all history. Regardless of your position, your gender, your life skills, your abilities, your talents, lean into the Lord, allow Him to work through you, and you'll have a kingdom come impact. That was Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, and I broke his 40 or so minute message into the Wednesday and Friday edition of Mark and Friends. As you know, on Fridays we've been going through the book of Exodus, and we'll pick up next Friday right where we're leaving off today, and we'll continue for the next year or two generally discussing this book in the days ahead. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.